Oh, awesome, huh? Thanks, Jeff Mason and Rock Band. The Blues Band, the Soul Band. That was a great song. No Mother's Day sermon today. That's the theme is addressed to all of us. Our scripture reading is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Jennifer Post is going to come and read for us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so it's Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, unity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of cunning, wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Thank you, Jennifer. I have spoken from this passage many, many times over the years, different themes and different subjects from it. Today we're going to look at overcoming spiritual immaturity. If you would think about children, this Mother's Day, our minds, of course, as mothers and as fathers would go to children, that they go through various stages in life. They move from that infant stage. Connie and I, as I've mentioned, we just had brand new baby twin great-grandchildren born. We haven't seen them yet, thanks to social media. We've got to see little Jasmine and Skylar on Facebook and those kinds of things. But they will move. You know, they're growing fast already. They're filling out. So children, infants, child, teen. Oh, wonderful years, right? Those teen years. And then hopefully adults. Various stages of maturity. Maturity means change. Maturity means change. I'll take, we'll wait. Immaturity means change. Immaturity means self-centered comfort zones. Let me repeat that. Immaturity means living in a self-centered comfort zone. The maturity changes from an infant to child to a teen to an adult are many. They leave that time of the crib and dirty diapers and bottles for a bed, a pair of jeans, and finally their own nice suit of clothes and a plate to know how to use silverware. I have brought a few things today that every one of us go through these stages. You in the back, maybe see that. Stole that from the infant nursery. Diapers. Why do we need diapers? We make a mess. Let's see, what else I got? Oh, rattles. Somebody stole my pacifier. I had a pacifier in here, but it's gone. Rattles, babies, infants need to be entertained. And who hasn't had one of these? Rubber ducky, you know? Huh. Toy. If you can get them in a bathtub. Even though when I was growing up, I didn't have a bathtub most of my years. And then, of course, the inevitable bottle. Go from that breastfeeding to bottle to baby food. You know, I'm going to just hold those right there for a few moments, but I want you to get a mental image. There will always be special marks or indicators of moving from immaturity to maturity, moving from being an infant to a child to a teen to an adult, moving from the bottle of milk to the baby food. And oh, I remember with my kids, I couldn't stand those pureed peas, you know? I'm sure some of you mastered the skill of when it's coming out of the bottom lip, you just take the spoon and you get it back in there, right? But I love the peach cobbler because it would be one for you and one for me. One for you, two for me, you know? So there's stages. But sometimes children resist those stages. And they want to stay an infant, or they want to stay a child, or they may want to stay in those teen years. And they're 25 and still living at home, and they're living like they're 15. You know, those are problem things. But children have to be encouraged to deal with immaturity so that they will mature. Spiritual maturity is similar with its marks of maturity and the need for biblical remedies to overcome spiritual immaturity. Because there is a natural tendency, because I think of our self-centered, sinful nature, to stay immature. Oh, as followers of Jesus, we know Jesus, and if we die, we're going to heaven, that kind of thing. But there's a strong tendency to stay immature. And so we need remedies. Our theme this morning is to overcome spiritual immaturity by the use of very powerful biblical remedies. Let me pause. The use of powerful biblical remedies for overcoming spiritual immaturity. You see why I wish that every mother was here today? No. Biblical remedies that will radically change a person's life. I hope you want to be a spiritually mature Christian. I hope you want our humble church to be a spiritually mature church. I know I do. I'm also very sensitive that everybody goes through stages. And some of you are brand new Christians, and that's understandable that there's going to be stages. And you're going to still have diapers, spiritual diapers. And you're still going to want that bottle and that pacifier spiritually. I understand that. But for those of you that have been followers of Jesus Christ for at least 3 years, it's time to grow up. It's time to take the biblical remedies to maturity. Listen to Paul's words. This is all introduction. Verse 14. He's talking to this church at Ephesus. Then we will no longer be infants. Verse 13. And we will become mature. Verse 15. And we will grow up in Him. Let's grow up. Let's mature and no longer be infants. Time to leave the diapers, the bottles, the pacifiers behind, and let God's remedies become part of our lives, and it will radically change us. Three biblical remedies I want to share this morning. Remedy number one, active in ministry with the goal of building up the body of Christ. Active in ministry with the goal of building up the body of Christ. Verses 11 and 12 from Ephesians 4. It was He, meaning Jesus, who gave to Christians the body of Christ to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Built up. This is God's goal for the body of Christ. Think about the child in the metaphor that we're using this morning about children and infancy and teen years and becoming an adult. A child's world, an infant's world, is wrapped up in self. Feed me, change me, entertain me. Feed me, change me, entertain me. And what happens when they don't get those three things? You might be walking the floor at 2 in the morning, or you're going to warm up that bottle. And I learned a secret, boy. You know how to, that it's not too warm? You just drip it where? Right on your wrist. There it is. Oh, it's good. It's okay. Take the bottle. Feed me, change me, entertain me. Spiritual immaturity is marked by the same self-centered approach to Christianity. Feed me, change me, entertain me. And God's remedy, active in the work of the ministry with the goal of building up the body of Christ through the use of one's gifts of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14 are all about knowing and using our supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is not a sermon on the gifts of the Spirit. It's a whole other subject which we've addressed numerous times over the years. This is about maturing. God's remedy for laying aside the spiritual diapers, the pacifiers, the little rubber duckies, and becoming the mature person that God wants us to be, the mature Christian, the mature follower of Jesus. And Paul says, active, the work of the ministry in building up the body of Christ by using your supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. There is a direct relationship between spiritual maturity and using our spiritual gifts for ministry in the body of Christ or the local church. If you do not know what your gifts of the Spirit are, or you are not active in ministry in using those gifts of the Spirit, it is impossible for you to mature as a follower of Jesus Christ. Impossible. Because this is God's remedy. This is God's plan. This is God's purpose. Now hear me carefully. You can spend hours reading the Bible and praying until you're blue in the face, and you will not mature or grow until you begin to minister or serve the Lord, do His work of ministry by using your gifts of the Holy Spirit. Using our gifts for ministry is God's remedy for immaturity. So whether we are, when we're active in ministry in the body of Christ and serving the Lord, maturity begins to develop. Now think about the child again. And those of you that have seen your children or grandchildren grow and mature, you know your child is maturing when that child begins to take the initiative to do the chores at home that they've been assigned to them without you telling them. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, wow, hey, make your bed, Johnny, and you don't have to tell them anymore. Take out the trash, Tim. Or Mark, would you do that? I'm talking about my two boys now. Mark, not Johnny, Mark, Tim. And what a day it was when their mother or I didn't have to tell them five times, hey, you know, it's Saturday and it's time to clean the bathroom. By the way, your child needs to have chores. That's another subject, okay? If your child doesn't have chores, they're not going to mature, okay? Our kids knew that Saturday was work day. And because of their age, they all had different responsibilities. And part of the responsibilities was clean the bathroom, empty the trash, do the dishes, or load the dishwasher, or unload the dishwasher, and all those kinds of things. Vacuum the floor. Oh, yeah. Our kids had to wash their own clothes from the time they were 12. And we had one little mix-up, and that was Tim. And he washed all of his clothes together, whites and colors and jeans and so forth. But he wore them, so that was fine. But what a day when the kid said, I'm just going to do my chores. I'm going to do what you expect of me. I don't have to be begged. I don't have to give money, you know. I don't have to get money to do it. Don't have to bribe them and cry and plead and say you're not going to get ice cream and all those kinds of things, you know. No, they just did it. And that's a sign they were maturing. Mature Christians don't have to be told over and over and over or begged and pleaded with, use your gifts in the body of Christ. You just do it. These are the gifts that God has given me. Ephesians 4, verse 16 is very clear. Listen to it. Grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. Work. That means your part, your work, your ministry. So are you working for the Lord in building up the church with your gifts of the Holy Spirit? I trust that you see the connection between ministry through your gifts through to maturity. No gifts, no ministry, no maturity. I'm serious. This is God's remedy for immaturity. Now, let me clarify something here. And you may misunderstand me. And we know the procedure, right? That if you misunderstand me or you don't like what I'm saying, you can come and talk to me. Lunch would be wonderful. Breakfast at Fame would be good, too. They have really good chip beef. So what I'm going to say is, you might, whoa, I don't know about that. I'm open to lunch or just coming to my office. This is not talking about being busy for God. Paul here is not talking about being busy for God. He's talking about using our Holy Spirit empowered gifts. Supernatural gifts. Not, well, I'm busy, you know. I'm really busy. I'm busy. I run here and there for God, and I do all kinds of things, you know, and I come in and I check and I... No, I'm not talking about being busy. I go to this Bible study on Monday, and I go to this prayer meeting on Tuesday, and I go to this women's group or this men's group, and then I do this, and I go there, and I'm running all over the place, and I go to this conference, and I listen to tapes, and I read Christian magazines, and I am so busy for God that I'm exhausted. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about knowing what your supernatural gifts are and using those gifts in building up the body of Christ as a servant. See, being busy. Infants and toddlers, boy, they can entertain themselves. And of course, as parents, we love that stage when they start entertaining themselves, right? And I'm not talking about sitting there watching TV for about 10 hours. I'm talking about playing with blocks or their coloring, and they can entertain themselves. That's wonderful. So they're busy, and you can do something as a mother or a dad. But Paul here is talking about using gifts for ministry, for a servant in the body of Christ. And so it's time, I think, that many Christians have to come to that place and say, I'm going to turn in my rattles and my toys and my rubber duckies for some shovels and some for tools. And I'm not talking literal shovels. Shovels and tools for ministry in the body of Christ based on the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given me by the Lord Jesus Christ to build up the body. That's remedy number one. Remedy number two. United in faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ with the goal of oneness. United in faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ with the goal of oneness. Verse 13, and I quote Paul. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And as parents, we know when our kids are really starting to mature or they're not. A sure sign of maturity in a growing child is when he or she learns to get along with others and share their stuff in their space, right? Not, that's my toy, give it to me, bap, you know. Now, they're starting to mature when they can play and they share, and then they go off to preschool or they go off to the nursery and Sunday school time, and they're not fighting over the toy. They're learning to share their space and their stuff. Why can't Christians get along? Why so many divisions and splits and even quarrels and discord? Why? Spiritual immaturity is marked by disunity over faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I got to be careful, and I don't want to just go off on some little woe is me, poor is me, but having been here, and as long as I have, 23 years, which is way over the average, you know, for pastors in a church. But to have wonderful people, it's really neat. And people always ask other pastors, how you doing? Well, I'm having fun. But having been here so long, I have seen everything. It's like, oh my, not that again. Oh no. No, why are they doing that? You know? And we have seen people leave ERC over stuff that I couldn't comprehend. And people tell me that, well, it's a sin. It's a sin because you eat unrefined flour. You know? Or you eat raw sugar. Or you take your wife to a restaurant on Sunday. You're living in sin, Pastor. Or you have a tattoo and that's a sin. Or you have a Christmas tree in your house and that's a sin. And oh, I mean, how dare us ever to get rid of a wooden podium and put up a plexiglass podium, or to get rid of pews and put in chairs, or to put a playground in outside. I mean, God forbid, right? No. God wanted us to do that. But can you imagine Christians saying, no, that's wrong. And that's just here. One simple, humble congregation of professing followers of Jesus Christ that say we build our lives on the Bible and we're Christ-centered, and people get, man, they get, I don't want to say some vernacular phrases, but they might not be nice. You know, you just, like, whack, grow up. But all those are signs of immaturity. Maturity is marked by unity in the faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ, right? That's what Paul says here. Spiritual maturity can discern between dogma, doctrine, and opinion. Oh, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, if you've been ever in any of my discipleship classes or in any leadership meetings and those kinds of things, you know what I'm talking about. The difference between dogma, doctrine, and opinion. Dogma is what you will die for. Doctrine is very, very important. It might break fellowship. And opinion is just your opinion. Spiritual maturity understands and can apply Romans 14. Now, I'm going to give you two homework assignments this morning. One is to read Romans 14. Romans 14, the Apostle Paul is dealing with disputable matters. And over the years, I have come to refer to this in my life and ministry as the pink shoelace phenomenon. And some of you know what pink shoelaces are all about. And I have a pink shoelace tied there. I have a pink shoelace tied on the garage door. What if someone comes to you and says, man, the Holy Spirit told me it was a sin to wear pink shoelaces? What would you do? Don't answer. I plead with you, don't say, well, if the Holy Spirit told you, then you better not wear pink shoelaces. I'm telling you right straight from the get-go, the Holy Spirit will never tell you that it's a sin to wear pink shoelaces. Why? Why can I say that? Doesn't matter. It's not in the book, is it? Give me verse and chapter that it's a sin to wear pink shoelaces. Now, I just use pink shoelaces as a broad catch-all, because it covers everything from the Christmas trees to the tattoos to you name it that somebody wants to come up with. That is their opinion. And it's nothing but their opinion. Dogma you will die for. I will die for the fact that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh and that He saved me, and salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. Nothing else. Sola scriptura, sola gratia. Amen? Nothing else. I'll die for that. Then there's doctrine. I happen to believe that we're going to go through what is called the 7-year tribulation. Some of you may not agree with that. That's okay. That's okay. We can still be brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Okay. I can go over to Graceway Baptist, Graceway now, and they might disagree with me on that. They don't anoint the sick. We do. So we're going to have some doctrinal things. I could go over Capitol Assembly, and they might teach that you got to speak in tongues, and I'll say, no, I disagree with that. But they're still my brothers in Christ. Right? It's okay. There's doctrine. I'm not going to shoot them over it, and I hope they don't shoot me over it. And then there's the opinion. Pink shoelaces, and whatever that may represent. Maturity. God's remedy for immaturity is unity in the faith in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Knowledge means what we believe about Jesus. That is central. That is central to everything. Faith involves how we live as His disciples, as His followers. God's remedy against spiritual immaturity is to believe and live a Christ-centered life. A Christ-centered life. Not a Moses-centered life, not a Peter-centered life, not a pastor-centered life, not a Pope-centered life, not a Mary-centered life, not a Joan of Arc-centered life, but a Jesus Christ-centered life. Amen. Nothing else. It's really very simple, and it is powerfully dynamic. It remedies spiritual immaturity, as seen in the two extremes, theological extremes. One is antinomianism, anti meaning against, nomi meaning law, anti-law, that you come to Jesus and you live every way you want. That's not biblical. The other extreme is legalism, or pharisaical legalism. You come to Jesus and you got to do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, da-da-da-da-da. All things that come out of opinion. The tattoos, the Christmas trees, the Easter bunnies, you know, the passing out candy on Halloween. That's nothing but somebody's opinion. And you make that law, legalistic. Jesus' way is the way of love. His law of love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. If you are battling spiritual immaturity, take heavy doses of Jesus Christ. Quickly, the third one. Motivated by love with the goal of speaking the truth. Motivated by love with the goal of speaking the truth. Verse 15. Paul says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Wasn't it exciting when you as parents, your kids actually begin to talk? And they talk to you. I mean, to me, that's exciting. Now, Mark is our oldest son, and he's 49. Mark's 49 years old. Can you imagine that? I have a 49-year-old son. He's a grandfather. Four times now. He's the one that had the twins, his daughter. Mark took a long time to talk. And our oldest daughter, Dawn, who is a grandmother too, three times, she's 18 months younger than Mark. And we called her MM for motor mouth. At 1 year of age, she could talk in sentences. So here she is at a year of age, and Mark at 2.5. And Mark would talk, and he'd go, blah, 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 blah. And we'd tell Dawn, please go talk to your brother and find out what he said and come back and tell us. And she'd go over and say, Mark, and Mark go, blah, blah, blah. And she'd go back, and he said this. It was cute, you know, but it was kind of scary. But today, Mark's a phenomenal guy, and he speaks well. He was just one of the keynote speakers of their district conference up in the Northeast District, where he's a pastor. So he learned to talk. But it's so exciting when our kids learn to talk, right? And I mean, they're actually mama, dada, gugu, baba. You know, those are nice things. But when they actually start carrying on a conversation with you, oh, it is so wonderful, isn't it? You mothers know that. It is neat. But oh, kids can lie, can't they? They learn to talk and they know how to lie. Joby did something really cute yesterday. We're out back and Connie goes into the house and Joby has a handful of candy. And he knows where the candy jars and all that are in our house. And he's not supposed to get them without asking. But he also knows there are consequences to lying. So when Connie asks him, where did you get the candy? Did you ask your mother for the candy? And he goes, I took it before.
I took it before she said no.
Smart dude, smart little kid, right? But he knew that he couldn't lie. So I took it before my mother because I know. So kids lie. Now, the spiritual immaturity. Do Christians lie? Yes, they do. But I have learned that Christians kind of play the Joby. They don't want to lie, so they tell you half the truth. You know, like, hey, do you have any money? No, I don't have any money, man. I'm really broke. They don't have but 2 cents in their pocket, but at home on their dresser, they got $100. Did they lie? No, I don't have any money on me. I'm kind of making this up, but they're kind of manipulating the situation. And they're telling you a half-truth. They're not telling you all the truth. A sign of maturity is speaking the truth in love. And that covers everything from lying to correcting to rebuking to teaching to preaching to church discipline and so forth. Spiritual maturity means that I am able to share with other Christians. I am able to correct them. I am able to take their correction. I am able to take discipline as I would discipline them biblically. I am able to teach. I am also able to be taught. Spiritual maturity means that I also practice Matthew 18. And here's the second homework assignment. What was the first one? Romans what?
14.
Read that. And then Matthew 18. Matthew 18 deals with learning to speak the truth in love. Also, how you do that when you got someone that has a problem with you or you have a problem with them or they've sinned against you. All teaching and preaching must be filtered to the truth of Jesus Christ. All. I'll say that again. All teaching and preaching must be filtered to the truth of Jesus Christ. All counseling, all mentoring, all discipling must be filtered through the truth of Jesus Christ. And it must be motivated out of love. It must be motivated out of love. So our ability and motivation in communication will reveal the level of our spiritual maturity. Listen to your own kids. Now, my kids are all grown. I have married grandkids that are having kids. But listen to your kids. Listen to how our church communicates among itself with its own adherents. Just listen. And it's interesting. And sometimes I try to do that. Just like, okay, I'm not saying anything. You know, I'm standing there or I'm saying hi, but I'm listening to what people are saying. Our speech gives us away. And God's remedy for immaturity is to speak the truth motivated by love. quickly, let me just repeat those three that we touched on. Active in ministry as we build up the body of Christ. United in faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as we share our lives together. And motivated by love with the goal of speaking the truth through Jesus Christ. How are you doing in your spiritual maturity? How are you doing? Let's stand for prayer. Father, it's so good to be with people that love you and want to follow you and serve you. I pray that you will move us through those stages of the diapers and the rubber duckies to those tough teen years where we think we know it all and we might be a bit rebellious. Forgive us and then move us to spiritual maturity. Oh Lord, teach us these things by the power of your Spirit. Bless us now as we leave this building, that we would breathe in your awesome manifest presence and live in that presence through your Holy Spirit. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're dismissed.